Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh. You need a shut?
On time?
Get out of here. Are you kidding
Don't
me?
Don't figure.
You know, I shut it early because, you know, I'm so used to it not working properly, but it did. Okay, so, yes. Oh, sorry, folks. Well, in that case, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself, who is sweating his fat ass off tonight and his teeth. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the smooth, the cool, the annoying one, the one, not only.
Sean Black in the building, once again, of course, sweating. Not as profusely as the Hot Rod, but sweating nonetheless.
Well,
now, should I bring up the fact that this is the show that we do before we take our hiatus, like a season finale, so to speak, till we start up?
Sean Black, I know you too well. Every time I say I want to take a break, we're going to take our break, then something will happen, then you're going to send me some news, and next thing I know, all right, Sean, we're doing a show tonight. I don't know it. So, technically speaking, we are taking a 3 weeks break. Technically speaking, we might come back after Labor Day, but tune in every week because I know Sean Black, I know Tisha, I know the rest of the guys, Kato, Brother B, will come up with stories to bug me to talk about it. And if it's hot, you know, Sean know me, we cannot miss it. So tune in just in case. But thank you, as always, for supporting us over the last, I don't know how many years now, I lost track.
Since March of 2015. Think about that.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah.
Ladies, as always, during the summer heat wave, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to send some heat out there and piss some people off?
Yes, yes, and more yes. How about that?
Okay. All right, so to our listeners around the world, just bear with me with this story. Something happened closer to home over the weekend. When I mean home, I mean Brooklyn, closer to where I live. But it's a story that's been happening nonstop. Like I told Sean Black earlier today, I know there's been hate in this country, in this world for over the years. There's nothing new. But since we've been talking about different topics every week, It seemed like, and I could be wrong about this, the hate has been growing more and more every time, or I should say the hate has been filming on cameras more and more every time. Recently, like I said, over the weekend in Brooklyn, there was a nail salon owned by Asian or Korean people, have been in business for over 15 years. I know the store well. I know the owner. There's an altercation that happened to led to a shutdown of the store today. Now, as always, I saw the video on social media, and Sean know me, I don't go by what the video said, because there's always more to the video. There's three sides to every story. But what seemed what happened was, it was a grandmother and her two granddaughters went to the nail salon for services. I'm sorry, a black grandmother, because we always have to throw in the race card in there. With her two granddaughters, went in for service, eyebrow, nail salon, whatever you call these things these days. And one of them did not like the service on her eyebrow. And from her side of the story, said she paid for the other services but refused to pay for the eyebrow, which is $5 for the service, which led to, I'm assuming, prior to the video, led to an argument, altercation. But the shocking part of this video is, the ladies are being attacked by the staff of the nail salon with acetone being thrown to their faces, broomsticks, whacking at them. It was like a big brawl that happened out there, which led them to a big, massive protest that's going on right now as we speak in front of the store. Now, Sean Black, we have talked about for many years with our friends and family about black-owned business, black need to stop spending their money and send it somewhere else. When you heard about this story, were you more upset about it? And if you was upset, were you more upset of that what happened with the Asian people, or are you more upset of the black people supporting these type of businesses?
I'm not upset at the African Americans supporting any business. I mean, we know that that's going to be the case. So that we'll put that one to the side. Much more so upset over the fact that this de-escalated the way it did and turned into what it did, because we've explained over the years how a lot of African Americans don't seem to support a lot of black businesses when they have the chance. The black-owned nail salon, the black-owned supermarket, the black-owned bank, those kinds of things. And there are black-owned banks that are out there, so just to keep in mind. Now, the situation was as such where I believe the grandmother had gotten arrested, and also one of the employees of the nail salon had gotten arrested. And as you explained, it was over the services rendered. Now, from what I listened to on the news, the owner of the store said that she didn't like the eyebrows, or the grandmother didn't like the way the eyebrows were done. I'll waive the $5 for you. But he is claiming that she had refused to pay for the pedicure and the manicure that was done, which they dispute they had already paid for. So this is where the argument goes back and forth. Now, if you're in a business where you're supposedly rendering services for something along those lines, and something breaks out, something is definitely wrong. There's no reason to be, because one of the employees picked up a chair and almost threw it from the video that I saw. Like you said, broomsticks, et cetera, et cetera. If we're going to have this conversation and we're going to look at black-owned businesses and them either succeeding or not succeeding in areas that have African-Americans that frequent their businesses, then you're going to have better access to these businesses, which we don't necessarily hear a lot of. You don't even hear a lot of promotion about that either. So I'm going to ask you, what side are you on? Are you much more on the side of being angry that it happened, or are you upset that this happened and you don't hear as much about the African-American businesses getting the attention that's deserved for something like this to not happen?
Well, I'm not upset that it happened, because this type of disputes happen all the time. You've seen it, I've seen it. It's like, I'll add to, which is, even though it's the wrong way, is there's another day in the hood, as we like to say sometimes. If I have to pick a side, I'm more upset with the people that keep supporting these businesses overall. It's like, if you go to the low-class area, you will not see one nail salon. You will see 2, 3, 4, 5 nail salons in the same radius of 3 blocks apart. Same goes for Chinese food. Same goes for bodegas. Same goes for other places. If we keep complaining, I'm talking about in general all the time, how, you know, okay, perfect example. We always complain that Chinese food always stink. They don't wash their hands. They're dirty. They rob us. They cook dogs and everything. But overall picture, we're still supporting them. You may not do it, Sean. Well, maybe your mother, maybe me, maybe K-Dog, you know. It's still a good majority still supporting the business. We cry about it, but we're still supporting it. So to me, that's like the biggest oxymoron ever. You know, this place that I told you about, I've known them for years, and I heard the service has not what it used to be anymore, but they're still supporting it. I'm sure there was probably a miscommunication. Something happened. We don't know whose side, like you say, Sean. He said, she said. We don't know.
Yeah. And the thing is, they actually closed down their store early today, because the owners of that particular store, they own another nail salon business in the neighborhood, literally a couple of blocks away from that store. And what happened is that the protest that was in front of that store moved over to the other store. So there is a possibility that the neighborhood, especially the people that live there, are of the mindset that that business should be shut down because of lack of good customer service.
And trust me, Sean, these type of businesses have not been serving the communities of right for years. And listen to you, listen to what he does say right now. The same owner, those owners, left that store and went to another store. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much business, or as they call it right now, black money matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much money we're giving the Asian community, the Jewish community, and other type of community, and we're not supporting our own to the fullest. We complain about the Indian people, or they took over Dunkin' Donuts and all these stores. We complain about the Spanish people having all the bodegas and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, these are typical similar arguments that we have all the time, but we still go out there to support them. And that's the part you don't understand. And then we have the solution of, well, we need to support our own. Here's the list. And Sean will tell you, there's an oxymoron about that. Some black
yes.
people are afraid to support other black businesses. Now, explain that to me.
Especially when this has been established over the last 2 years, that the African-American dollar spent in the United States is a well over $1 trillion. That's with a T. $1 trillion. And if you think about that thought process, if African Americans in this country could pool their spending and put them in other businesses, there would be a huge change in the economy of this country. But what doesn't happen is, as you stated before, the stereotype and the reputation that African Americans either can't trust one another or don't want to help their own out is what keeps African American businesses down while other businesses thrive. You have Asian Americans, you have Indian Americans, as you stated before, Jewish Americans. You have lots of other sections of people that live in the United States. Hey, forget about that. It's going into New York City that are flourishing and thriving in certain sections of the New York City area just based on that ideology alone of helping their own out and making sure that their economy goes back into their community. You don't hear about that in the African-American community, especially with a lot of the gentrification that's been going on. Businesses don't seem to thrive within the African-American community, and if they do, they don't thrive for long.
And the problem with that is, of course, it also goes back to lack of education, of lack of learning process, of how to support our own, how to better ourselves. Or some people just don't care and don't want to be bothered, but just don't cry about it in the end, you know. Because this protest that's going on right now, to me, is meaningless, you know. Because this guy will take his business, and guess what? Take it somewhere else. If this man owned 2 stores, you think he can't open another one? So
yeah.
Who won? Who lost? You know.
Well,
he lost.
I guess we're going to find that out shortly.
And another example. The gentleman, the business store, the bodega up in the Bronx, when the kid got killed by the gang members, the owner sold his store to another owner and it will reopen up. Do you think that store, Sean, should be closed down or keep up and running?
If you're going on principle, then you're going to say, well, it's too soon. A crime happened there in the neighborhood that's fully entrenched in what had happened. But also at the same time, a business has to make money. It's always about their bottom line. So at some point, they're going to have to make money. The old owners obviously weren't going to be able to make money or even stay in the neighborhood. At the same time, the new owners, I don't remember where they're from or what business says they might have had prior to owning the building and buying the building out for whatever business. They took down the old name of the building basically to try to distance themselves away from what happened there. But if you're going to run a business in a place where somebody was hacked to death with a machete and left laying after they were dragged out of the store, I don't know if that business can actually survive. And the neighborhood is actually banded together to make sure that either no one goes into the business or that they disrupt that business as much as they can.
You know, I think I could be, you know, I would be the a-hole here. I think that would bother me with his mindset. If you have a new owner, he's changing. Yes, I understand it could be part of the war as a shine for the fallen victim. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep his memories alive. But like you say, Sean, it's all about the dollar. This is all about the bottom dollar. you have a new owner, try to open up a business and bring money into the community. You know, you can't just shut things down because something happened. You heard the expression, life goes on. Like, people need to realize life goes on, you know, overall. And I think,
and the neighborhood, I think the neighborhood also needs the economy that the store brings. And that's the other problem with this whole situation. You have a store that serves a need for a community. I don't know what the economics were as far as how much money it was bringing into the neighborhood, but I'm pretty sure it did bring some kind of money, because that's a pretty large store from the security video that they showed. That's a pretty large corner store. So I'm sure that a percentage of that money is bringing in a lot for the community, for the neighborhood, and to see that kind of crime has basically soiled the entire reputation of that area, that block, etc. It's sad.
It's sad, but I don't think our listeners around the world need to understand that if you look in the low urban communities, what do we have all the time? Liquor stores, bodega lottery machines, nail salons, Chinese food, fast food.
Mm.
Now, most of them are not owned by black business owners. They're owned, like I said before, Asian, Jewish, white, because they don't care about us, but they care what's in our wallet, because they know, overall, ladies and gentlemen, black people spend. Like you say, Sean, over $1 trillion. So, if I go open a liquor store, even though I know the liquor's killing you, because I should know I drink liquor, but I'm not making thousands of dollars of it, why not? And you know what? When I mean stores, on the same block, like I said earlier, you can have two liquor stores selling the same thing, maybe at the same price or a dollar more than another store, and still making business. While you have a nice restaurant in the middle, while a black-owned person who's trying to give back, trying to make people eat healthier, will get nothing.
Yeah. I'll give you a perfect example of that same exact thing that you just stated. Not that far from where I live, there is a supermarket literally two blocks away from me. On the opposite end, in two blocks in the opposite direction, used to be another supermarket. That supermarket closed down and was replaced by a 99-cent store. That 99-cent store has since closed down and was replaced by another supermarket. You know who owns the supermarket? The same owner that owned the supermarket in the opposite direction. So they're hitting the same exact market from the opposite end. But what they're doing is they have one supermarket that sells regular normal stuff that most people would get within a neighborhood. And in the other end, they're selling a lot of the organic stuff, et cetera, which is just more expensive versions of the same stuff in the opposite store. They're just hitting it from both ends. Same
old. You got two different clientele.
Exactly. So you're gonna hit from the lower income side, and then you're gonna get the higher income, because as I said before, gentrification has taken over in a lot of neighborhoods, and you're seeing a lot of these things happen where you have one owner own more than one business of the same type of business, but one will be a lot more upscale, and then another one will be a little lower key. And that's how they hit it from both ends, and they're still making a giant pot of money.
Okay, talk about upscale. We have another caller now. You know who this is. Go right ahead.
I know you ain't talking about me with the upscale.
Of course, man. You're upscale.
You must
man.
Be crazy.
You're
you must be crazy.
Greetings and salutations, my friend.
Yes, greetings and salutations, everyone.
Come on, man.
How are you
this
doing?
This is Mr. Vegan in the house, y'all. Come on, Brother B. Let's get it.
Hey, listen, nothing wrong with vegan food. It tastes good. No comment. Listen, my thing is this. I don't know, because this is about whatever Trump said to LeBron. Because I don't even know what happened.
We're talking about the nail salon. There's a protest going on right now that I posted a video on Facebook. A bunch of Asian lady was beating up on a grandmother for quote unquote not paying the fee. And basically, how do you feel that black people need to stop supporting these type of businesses, especially when they're getting crappy service overall? Like, you know, you have Asian people that own nail salons, beauty supplies,
Well,
Indian
you know
people
what?
Won't talk it down. Yes.
Well, you know what? Some black people need to stop feeling like they're entitled to stuff, or stop feeling like somebody owed them something, and they need to get up off their ass and get something. Listen, if you come to my spot and I render you services and you don't pay, we got a problem. You know what I'm saying? Simple and plain. Like, would she have done that and somebody, if it was a black owner? So why are you going to do it to somebody else? We allow this stuff to happen to us. We allow these people to come into our communities and take over and build whatever they want to build and feed us the poison because we support it. Like, as much as they want to say that we are poor and we're broke, it's amazing how we spend, what you say, $1 trillion?
$1 trillion, yes.
$1 trillion. So we, like, wow, we the brokers rich MFers out. So, but we allow these people to come into our neighborhoods and do it. Now, we can't go in this. We cannot go in their neighborhood and do that. You cannot go in Chinatown and open up something, open up a barbershop.
You know what?
Or something. You can't do that.
Someone told me that you'd be damned if you open up a soul food restaurant in Chinatown. You would get no child support whatsoever.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't because you know what's funny? Discrimination and discriminatory stuff is only when certain people feel discriminating against. So if I go into Chinatown and I want to start a soul food restaurant, they're going to sit there and have a beef about it because they're going to say, hey, this is our community. But wait a minute. What about my community that you come into and you set up with Chinese food that you don't even eat? You give that to us. You know what I'm saying? But it's not discriminatory.
Yeah, like I told Sean earlier, it's funny how Asian people, I'm not picking on them, it seems like I am, how they open up their Chinese spots, giving us crap. People go open a liquor store on the same block, giving us poison, but we still continue to support it nonstop, but we turn around complaining. Oh, Chinese people serve dog food. Well, we're still eating the compound chicken. God knows.
Exactly. That's why. Why do you think why do you think no other race really takes us serious? Why do you think no other race? Did you see that video that somebody posted about the owner or the boss of a mill or some factory?
Yeah.
I think California.
Factory,
yeah.
Yeah,
the factory. That he sent two Spanish workers home, two Mexican guys home, and the rest of them said, damn, that we out.
Yes.
Yeah,
you
Sean
see that?
Sean sent me that video earlier.
You see that? That's support. We don't do that for each other.
Sean, do you ever see black people would do something like that? If we do say yes, I will bring up the NFL. You know that.
Well, I know of no real issues of that ever happening, at least not purported to the media. But see, the issue is that a lot of African Americans, when they're in that situation, although they may want to do it, in the back of their minds they realize they're in a position where they don't want to lose their jobs, and so that they don't do it. And that's the crazy part about the whole entire thing.
Well, our mindset. That's our mindset. We
and
have a bunch of Mexicans.
And that's where the education part comes in.
A bunch of Mexicans that say, screw you, white guy, we're all leaving. They all have families, I'm assume, to support. They all have homes. By that moment, they say, screw it. You fired two of our people. We're out. While the NFL players right now they are taking knees, but they cannot sit out one game to send a powerful message toward the owners.
No, because
they're afraid.
The Negroes want that money. They got to pay for the mansions and houses. They got to pay for them chicks. They got to pay for somebody's titties or ass. They got to pay for something. It's the shiny thing. They want the money. That's what it's all about. You think it's about unity? Listen, I bet you if the situation was reversed, white people would have walked right off the field. What the hell no? F you.
Do you agree, Sean Black?
Probably. I'm pretty sure that it would have been the case. In a lot of instances, that would have been the case. There's a lot more unity and solidarity, unfortunately, and a lot of examples with a lot of other races and creeds that a lot of African Americans don't have. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't any African Americans that have a purpose. As
of
we know, there's plenty of examples of that. But
overall,
we've seen this happen on a regular basis where, let's say, an African American community has a chance to unionize at a particular job. And instead of being able to unionize, they back out because they're afraid they're going to get fired. And that's the whole premise behind being unionized. So we've seen a lot of companies try to do that, and if it's, especially if the workers are African American, instead of actually trying to unionize or trying to do something where they are together, they break apart into little splinter cells, and then they dissipate just so they can keep their jobs.
Before I go to the next topic, let it be, why, bottom line, black people are afraid or do not support other black businesses? What is your major thought?
I think it's low-key hate. That's what I think it is. Because first of all, and not only that, well, all right, let me back up away from that one. There's not enough of our we don't line the blocks of certain areas like we used to, maybe in Harlem or Brooklyn in certain areas. Like when Giuliani came in, you know, all them little, or, no, actually when Bloomberg came in, a lot of those mom and pop stores, those little small spots, you know, personal spots, they died out.
Uh-huh.
They died out. Like they couldn't afford stuff anymore. Like the prices were shooting up. This dude was making everything all about corporate. We don't have enough places for, like, right now, if I wanted to just go grab a pair of sneakers from a place that I know, a black owned sneaker store, where is it? Where? I have to find one. But I can find a Model, but I can find a Model's. How many Models would I pass before I get to that black owned sneaker store?
I have two in my neighborhood right now. Go figure.
Two Models? Yeah, see?
Two Models. You'll
probably pass 50 Models or 20 Models before you get to the black owned sneaker store, because it's probably either on the other side of your borough or not in your borough or someplace else. And that's the problem. Like, there's not enough of us out there doing business. And when we are doing business, how we're not even known. A lot of people are not known.
Yeah. I'll give you another example with that. There's a black-owned sneaker store a few blocks away from me. And all this person sells is everything Jordan. All Jordan sneakers, all Jordan movie posters. It's like a store that's a shrine to Michael.
Yes. I saw that on the news. I know what store you're talking about.
Exactly. I don't know how business is with it, but that's an example of an African American owned store that has enough clout to, and has had, you know, enough money and backing from a bank to be able to open up their own business and doing that. Now, the difference is this is an actual business that's selling a brand name that people want. Now, are they making sales? What's the upkeep? How much are they putting into supply? I don't know. But at least it's there. But you don't have enough of those type of stores to sustain itself in a community unless they're sprinkled all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on to, you know, other priorities, though. There's a big problem with Donald Trump and LeBron James. Same way Sean Black and I, we have our problems, but they take it via Twitter. Sean, what's the beef going on between your president and LeBron James?
He's not my president. He's your president. So, in any event,
whatever.
President Trump, just over the last few days, was making reference to an interview that LeBron James made on CNN with broadcaster Don Lemon, who, as we know, Donald Trump, for whatever reason, can't stand CNN or Don Lemon. So after the interview was shown, Donald Trump decided, in one of his many Twitter rants, went on Twitter and basically said, LeBron James was interviewed by the dumbest man on television, Don Lemon. He made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. I like Mike. Mike being a reference to Michael Jordan. So obviously there is potentially a twinge of pettiness and anger at LeBron James with mixed in with potential racism involved. Don Lemon, later on in that same instance, responded in his own tweet, and he said, "Who's the real dummy? A man who puts kids in classrooms or one who puts kids in cages?" That was a mic drop in and of itself from Don Lemon. Now, to make reference to that, LeBron James has opened up over the weekend his own public school in his hometown of Akron, Ohio, called the I Promise School, and it is for underprivileged kids in the area, in the neighborhood, that are trying to get to college, that are going to learn. They have computers in the school. They give them free bikes. They're giving them computers, et cetera, all of the tools that they need. And this isn't a charter school. There's no money that is being funded from the parents, et cetera. This is fully public school. And with the promise that if you go through and graduate, you are guaranteed a scholarship free of charge through the school to the University of Akron. And this has got great, great response from everybody, including President Trump's wife, Melania, who actually agreed with LeBron and said, I side with somebody that is against bullying and is of the development of children so that they can grow and become young men and women. You take it for what it is.
Okay, we have Tisha in the house, but go ahead, Brother B. I know you have something to say about that.
Go, black man, go, black man, go. Listen, I applaud him just for the fact that he did that. Now, mind you, this is the same man that that made death threats, burnt his jersey, just talked horribly about him because he had to do him. He went over to Miami, got a couple of rings, but he came back. But look what he did. And I think he did a great thing, no matter his color. I think he did a great thing for his community. What's sad is that it's being frowned upon by people who obviously don't care for our community or really don't care for us. And I don't even hear an outcry from the churches. I don't hear outcry from other black people talking like, hey, Trump, like, shut your mouth. But all I hear is I hear a lot of condemning, and I don't understand. I don't get it. But, you know, I applaud him, man. Like, God bless him and his family. And I pray that they don't try to come out with some type of next week scandal. Oh, LeBron was found drinking stale milk in the corner, and, you know, everybody's just flipping out about it. Oh, my God, he was drinking stale milk. You know, like, yeah. I just hope, you know, everything just stays on the up and up now.
Keisha? Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Hey, y'all.
In.
Yeah.
Hi.
Wake up.
No, my first response when I heard about this, even when Trump had tweeted about it, like, does he not have anything to do with the president other than focus on LeBron James and the good that he's doing? Is it because black people are not supposed to be doing good? I don't know.
Well, no, what got me, I think I agree with Brother B on this, is that J.J. Watts he's a football player for the Houston Texans, and he did a lot of charity work, especially after the hurricane that happened in Houston. And he was praised as a god. And you have LeBron James, which everyone knows as a player, I can't stand him. But if I have to bow down to the king himself for the great job he did, opening a school, and if we tuition boat, like Brother B said, where's all the outcry about that? Where's the defense? Why black people are not defending other black people in this type of way? You know.
And to go back to what you said earlier, I think you said earlier, this is another reason why you got black people that don't go and open up anything. No support.
But once again, where we're trying to get support, we don't get the proper support, or there's some scandal or controversy or situation behind that support.
Yep.
So basically, can black people win in these type of situations at all, or should they keep trying and trying and trying? K-Dog?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I'm about to say, I give a shout out, hey, man, LeBron. Brother, you did the right thing by opening up a school in your community. This is what it's all about, giving back. You know, it's not just you know, being a celebrity, but also it's making things happen in your own community, and, you know, especially for the children to receive an education where they could go to school and to learn and also to become better people. Now, as for the media whore in the office, what he needs to do is sit down and shut up and just do what you have to do, because, you know what, as a very poor leader, and yes, I do say poor leader, you need to be focusing on what you need to do as president. But other than that, as for us as a people, we have been so divided for so long that, you know, we see a lot of, unfortunately, amongst us, and I could say this point blank and simple, we have too much hate. We have too much haters amongst ourselves. You know, if one of us does something that's positive, why is it the other one tries to shut the other one down?
Why do you think it's that, K-Dog?
It's because we're not united. There's no unity. We don't try to understand one another. Instead, we try to tear each other down. Now, let's just say someone one of us buys a big house. If Sean Black buys a big house, you, Hot Rod, or Brother B, or Teacher, is going to hate on him and say, oh, who the hell does he think he is? Instead of asking him.
I'm the host. Sean does not deserve a big house. I do, okay? I'm the main event.
Right. Instead of asking him how did he get that house, we sit there and criticize him. You understand what I'm saying? And that's a problem. That's our mentality. It's all screwed up.
But I think, I think this kind of goes, you know, way back. It's like it's jealousy, but it's also something else. It's when you had, I gotta go there. So when a white man was busy, like, hey, step and fetch it. You come in my house, clean up. You know, I let you sleep next to the dog, and you get the scraps. I also need you to watch over all those Negroes in the field. If anybody mm-hmm. do anything wrong, I want you to let me know, and I'll take care of it. You see, you took one Negro and put him on the pedestal, which was really nothing. You just put him on a shoebox. And he caught that attitude. He caught that, like, oh, yeah, well, I'm something. He was made to feel like he was something, even though he was being treated like nothing. But it was different from how the cats in the field were being treated. That mentality is still carrying on to this day, and it's gotten worse. We still have mm-hmm. the house Negro and the field Negro mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also coupled with jealousy. There's no reason to be jealous of somebody if we can all get the same thing or we all ain't got nothing. So I just really don't get it. But maybe it's not something to be gotten. And also, when it comes down to LeBron James and his school, come on, man. We all know the biggest problem that white people will always have is educated black men, women, and children. We're not supposed to be interested in education. We're not supposed to be educating ourselves. I believe also his school offers mothers and fathers who don't have their GEDs or high school diplomas, they can get them in.
Yes.
So you know that's a slap. See, and that's a slap in the face to their agenda. That's a slap in the face.
And if you think about all of those things that you just pointed out, Brother B, plus the fact that you have the as we said before, is that shiny object that Trump likes to flash at everybody, while all of the other stuff that he's trying to do is going over
right
to the side. We know about the Russia investigation. We know about all of the other stuff. And a lot of the attention is taken off of the things that you probably should be actually looking at. Like the fact that the NRA is actually going, lost a lot of money. They're like $5 million in the hole. You know, things like that. When you have the president who has been very good at deflecting attention from other things by putting up Twitter fights and bringing up the attention to other things to make sure that he, one, riles up his base, but also at the same time, we also know what he's trying to do. And the only reason why this came about is because LeBron James in that interview basically said that President Trump is using sports to divide us, going back to the kneeling aspect, going back to the way that these arguments have gone and how the country has been divided over the protests, even though we know what the protests were about. And that singular opinion is what brought a lot of this. Now, the reason why I actually looked at this topic the way it is because we know that in a lot of instances with a lot of politicians, a lot of people that are inherently racist, but they don't want to be as overtly racist, they try to use code. And that code is wrapped in a nice little chocolate coating so that you don't necessarily see what is really underneath. And we've seen this happen in a lot of instances, a lot of times, when we're getting to see a lot of people in power that either legislate based on how their religion, that their religious background, their religious teachings, or their racial slants. And we've seen that a number of times where people are going to actually get hurt over these kinds of things. And that's
yes, we do.
Okay, well, now I want to go to my favorite segment of the night. This is when we have four guys attacking Tisha. Because, you know, Tisha's the only lady. We're going to be talking about relationships here.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Tisha, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tisha, on last night's Brother B show, his topic was, should cheaters be exposed on social media? So, basically, what do you think cheaters should be exposed on social media overall? Or should be kept quiet?
I don't know about social media. I think that's petty, but, you know, it's going to happen in this day and time with social media the way it is. I mean, they're going to get exposed in real life anyway, so.
People like to give out their business out there. Oh, okay. There's a lot of talk in the background for somebody. But people like to expose everything. So if someone cheated on you, does the public really have the right to know that you got cheated on, that you got heartbroken and everything?
Look, the way social media is, you have people that put everything out on Facebook. Oh, let's say my man just cheated on me, blah, blah, blah. It may happen. Mm-hmm. Is it petty? Yeah. Do I want to hear about it? Not really, but that's what the person's going to do. So how are they going to express it? They're going to express it. These days, I don't know. That's what social media is for to some people.
Yeah, well, you may not care for that, but a lot of people do want to see that type of drama unfold on social media, and that's the sad part about it. You know?
Listen, I don't mean to keep picking on him, but yo, people need to stay out of Marvin's room, okay? People really need to just stop and be like, why is everybody looking for sympathy? Because that's what it is. Oh, he cheated on me, or she cheated on me. You're looking for sympathy. Sympathy for what?
No,
Support and sympathy is two totally different things. Because, listen, you telling me that your lady cheated on you, this is support. Yo, bro, there's too much titties and ass out there. Now, if a homegirl said, oh, my man just cheated, listen, there's too much penis out there, go find it. That's support. Sympathy is, oh, I feel so sorry. I remember what happened when my cat ran away. I felt the same way. It's sympathy. Like, we got to stop playing the sympathy card, but who cares, man? Stop being soft. Get back on the saddle and just go out there and do what you got to do. Everybody stop getting off this marshmallow shit.
Listen.
Brother B, not everybody's cold-hearted like you. Some people feel in love with that person.
No, listen, it's not cold-hearted. Listen, it's not cold-hearted. Like I said, if my homegirl is like, yo, my boy just cheated on me, I'm like, yo, let's go have a drink. Let's go go set you up with some sex for the night, and then we can talk about it. We can laugh about it later. Get all that, man. Well, listen, why should you be stuck in one situation,
see, brother,
man?
You might be like that. But you also have guys that after let's say they finish cheating, they want to do the campaign smear and then smear the girl all over. What are you going to do about that when they talking about it? And you got guys that'll actually sit back and laugh and joke about it too.
She was crazy.
I'm
gonna tell him to get out of Marvin's room. She did what she did. Move on, Jack. Move on. Because now you looking like you soft. You looking like a s'mores.
Listen,
you look like you got two grand crackers on you, man.
Listen,
hey, okay,
listen,
go ahead,
listen.
Okay,
everybody, I just want to say, I'm going to preach it. All right, y'all gonna be in for a preview.
Here we go.
Like I said before,
say
it again. Social media is both a blessing and a curse. Social media, yes, it reunites families, but then after you have some people out there who have to, who feel the need to be posting every damn detail of their relationship on there. And to those people, listen, I'm not knocking everybody. I'm not saying, you know, to the people who are married, who've been married for a long time, yes, they could do that. But damn it, your relationship, do you have to post all of that on the on social media? Hell no. Because I find that people who feel the need to post their whole relationship on social media, their relationships are all jacked up. And as for the cheaters, cheaters expose themselves. We see it on social media all the time. You expose yourself because, listen, you're hanging out and you're taking pictures of you and this woman in a who is not your woman, or you're taking a picture of someone who's not your guy and putting the whole damn thing on social media. So, of course, you're exposing yourself. It's not anybody exposing you. You're the one doing it yourself because you're too addicted to that damn social media. You're putting it on Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
Okay, but it sounds like a hater right now to some people.
No,
you
I'm
know
not
that,
being
right?
a hater. I'm keeping it 100% real.
I'm keeping it real.
Because you know what? It's
but
like
outside,
it's like come
hater.
On, man. Why yo? if you're you crying on social media, what the hell for? Listen, that is
my thing is
all
right, so what could be the response someone's looking for if like you okay, I've seen videos where the dude walk in the house with the room like, yo, she got some dude in there. She thought I was at work, but she got some dude. Like, dude, you know how stupid you're making yourself look? Me?
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to make a video of me at her girlfriend's house eating grits and cheese.
As a matter of fact, I ain't making no damn video. I am
nah,
putting
I'm making
nothing.
A video, Jack. No, I'm making
okay.
a video.
I
like
am
that I'm
no
eating,
damn
I'm
video
because
nobody needs to see it. Because you know
I
what?
Mean, okay.
It creates
grits
at
her girlfriend's house. That's that.
It makes it creates a problem because you know what? And the bottom line is this: you're the one, Mr. or Miss Social Media. You're the one making yourself look real stupid. Because you know what? You ain't gonna find no sympathy because it's like, damn, why you gotta be putting it out there for? And people sit there and say, like, yo. What is up with y'all?
Because they're putting it out for revenge purposes. But
that's because they're the ones looking stupid at the end.
Yeah, but are they looking stupid, Kato? Is they looking for revenge overall? You know, and that's what people do things when they're angry. If I find out why a woman's cheating on me, of course I will post something out of anger. So it's like Sean Black was cheating on me, so I'll post things on the show out of anger. But go ahead, Sean, what's your intake?
My thought process has always been of this. It's just the same way that a lot of people look at social media and how we talked about people bullying other people online. The bottom line is if you can keep your personal business, your personal life off of social media, it's much more beneficial than anything else you can do. And the reason being is there are so many people that are looking for rationalization because they were either hurt, embarrassed, indifferent, any of the above. Something happened in a relationship that didn't work out. And for them to feel better about themselves, unless this is some sort of a sting to bust someone, they're looking for a rationalization from people that they may not even know to agree and co-sign with why they did it in the first place. And there's an expression that my uncle used to tell me years and years ago. If they'll do it with you, they'll do it to you. The last thing you want to do is to have it done to you where millions and millions and millions and billions of people will know exactly what you did and how it was done. And that's the problem with this whole thing. So I am diametrically opposed to anybody doing any of this kind of nonsense on social media because then it lives in infamy forever.
Okay.
Wait, Sean Black. You wouldn't go to the house with and eat cheese. You wouldn't go to the girlfriend's house and eat cheese and grits. Cheesy grits. I mean, do you eat grits, right?
I don't know. I was asking.
Here's the issue. This is the issue
okay
that I
for the guy to be petty. You guys are petty.
The issue
I'm
that
sorry,
I have,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the
man,
issue
I mean,
that I have, and this is the
okay
way, this is just me, is that if I have been cheated on, I don't care about revenge. I just want my freedom so I can move on. Life
gosh
is too short to keep staying in that kind
spare
of
me
stuff.
Spare
I care
me
about the
spare
revenge part. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, you're a woman. You wouldn't care about that.
Yeah, I'm a woman. Come on.
Come on. That's not the
on the panel. You're taking shots already.
I know, my goodness. I thought this show wasn't about being PC.
Oh, my gosh. See?
Go ahead, new caller. Go ahead. You know who this is. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Joe. So, you know,
hey,
I'm not
how you
doing,
PC. Joe?
How you
what's
guys
up,
doing?
Boss? All right.
Are you guys talking about being cheated on or
being
toxic relationships?
No, so cheaters being exposed on social media.
Being cheated on social media?
No,
if you find out that somebody cheated on you and
mm-hmm
you expose that on social media.
Oh. Ah, okay. Now, Sean, I happen to agree with you. If you're going to
oh, my God, spare me, please.
Please,
no,
spare
but
me.
I said the same thing. I was like, please. Well, look, if you're going to seek revenge, then why be counterproductive? If you're going to take what happened to you and spread it around the world like Sean was talking about, then somebody's going to come along and either take your side or be vehemently against it. Why do you want to get involved in that? If you're going to, let's say the girl did something really bad that needs to have some measures taken against her, I'm not talking about whipping her or anything, but if, you know, why reveal your private life to a bunch of strangers? They're not
thank
going to,
you.
They're
I
not going
agree
to appreciate well, it. They're going to find it as entertainment.
Huh? Yeah, I agree with you, Joe, but I think this is a new form now. This is the way people like express themselves, especially with this new generation. Everybody needs to know everything about what's going on. Joe, I need to know what time you're eating, what time you're using the bathroom, what time you go to work, what when you go to sleep. Everybody needs to know what's going on in the social media world.
Well,
and
you
that's
know,
why people
are
focused
and, that's, and that's what I was saying before. I'm like, it makes no sense because you know what? You're making yourself even look even more stupid by putting all of that on social media because,
Kato, that's why I disagree with you there because, it does sound stupid, but people look into that, and people keep feeding into that and give you comments and likes, you will get more.
But
of
it's
it
still stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the bottom line is who cares? If you
exactly
care, if you care, that's one thing. If you're trying to get likes, you're trying to get others to care, the bottom line is who really is going to care? Are you going to go to your friends, the people that actually care for you, and get their opinion on what you should do? That's completely different. But if you're trying to go to an audience of people in Timbuktu or somebody on a computer in Denmark or somebody on a computer somewhere in Florida or somebody on a computer right across the street from you, they can't do anything for you. It's all about
exactly
rationalization of how you feel to co-sign getting revenge on somebody. And
you know
want to look and look and search until you feel better about yourself after the situation. That's the
and
problem.
And that's the key word. I think the insecure people, like you said, feel better about yourself. I think the insecure people have found a platform within social media.
Well, they have.
That's
but
why
also,
they do stuff like that.
But also the revenge part. Again, if a girl cheated on you, for example, and you're going to talk about how badly she cheated and then maybe reveal the name of the guy that she cheated on you with, you could be also opening yourself up to a lawsuit.
True, but people love that type
mm-hmm
of drama.
They love
people
it, but it's still stupid.
But then there are always the
people
that want to watch
another
the world burn.
And another
hold
thing
on,
some
Tisha
people do that's
hold
real dumb.
Hold on, I've got to give it to Tisha. Tisha, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tisha.
No, guys, I was just saying that they're thinking with anger at the time. They're not thinking about, oh, you can
emotions
get a lawsuit. Let's say if I make a meme on this person, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So it's like they're not thinking about that. You're dealing with the emotions at the time.
Very true.
Emotions control everything.
And that's guys, too, because I've seen guys be petty, too. So you guys
yeah
deal with emotions,
exactly
too. You
oh,
boo-hoo, you should so stop.
Sorry,
that,
no,
that's the reason why I said there are some people that want to watch the world burn. And that's the other factor of it. There are some people that are just vengeful people that just don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Go ahead, K-Dog.
No, it's like this. It's like it comes from both the men and the women, because I've seen some guys who have put some things on social media, and even worse, mentioning the person's name on social media to bring shame to this person. They have done it before. And the same thing goes for some women. They put the person's put the person's name and say, this is it, and put his picture and reveal it and find any way to humiliate the person, but yet at the same time it's not helping the situation. It's gonna make the situation even worse.
But guys, overall, what's the difference between that and watching it on reality TV and entertainment itself? This is just entertainment on social media. It's the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, isn't reality TV, a pure episode of stupidity? Here, you take girls. If you say to them, look, I want to humiliate you, okay? And I want your family to know about it. No, my family can't know about it. No, my boyfriend can't know about it. But I'll put you on TV, and millions will know about it. Well, okay, I'll do that.
The things those people will do for fortune and fame.
Yeah.
Or just put it on the internet, and then billions will know about it forever.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. People, this is a new form now. I mean, I agree with everyone. You know, it's stupid. This is old school. But this younger generation, they like to expose everything that they do, whether it's cheating or who they're dating, whatever. It's like you need to put your whole private life out there now, and even though it could be the fake life, but you know, I need to see what Tisha's at 24/7. But for some reason, Sean said you don't care, but I think they care to a certain degree for them to go look at it.
Y'all said, in real life and stuff like that. What's the difference between, let's say, if I go to a cookout with Brother B? And he's talking about, you know, oh, my girl broke up with me and stuff like that. And, you know, exposing the situation the same way. Every time I say, hey, Brother B, where's such and such? Or somebody says that to him. Oh, he goes into the long details, do a smear campaign about her. What's the difference?
And then you concoct a plan to everybody that's there to let them know what happened, to expose them. It's like a digital crumb trail. You're just leaving crumbs and morsels for everyone else to nibble on. Until you get the entire deal. And when that paper trail is there, you can't get away from it because it's all over the world forever.
Some people look at that and be like, damn, man, that person's really pitiful. They're not going to be like, damn, I feel sorry for you. They're going to be like, damn.
Or not really. Or they might be like, damn, let me hear some more. Let me laugh a little bit more.
You know the term, they're not laughing at you.
Okay, hold on. Let's give it to Brother B, because this is his situation. He's being depressed right now. Brother B, what do you have to say?
Nah, listen. All I'm
putting
say
is too much out there.
Listen.
I put on Front Street, I guess.
my whole attitude has been, I can't make anyone stay where they don't want to be. So if you want to leave, you go. Because it's too much else going on out here for me to just be focused on one person. Like, you know, we can be cool or we don't have to be cool. But
there's
7.5 billion
people on planet Earth. You're bound to find somebody that you can be happy with.
Exactly.
But listen, you know what, first of all, I got to be happy with me. I'm not looking for acceptance from anybody else.
Exactly,
and I think that's what a lot of people
be happy
for.
With yourself
they,
first.
They need the likes. They need the attention. Because they don't feel it for themselves. They're not happy with themselves. So they got to get it from somebody else. They got to be coddled. And see, this is the problem, especially with this generation. They're always looking for some acceptance, but they can't accept themselves.
Oh, you know what?
Because they don't even know who they are.
And that acceptance goes back to social media, with us talking about social media.
Exactly.
Oh, you have to have the prettier picture. You have to have this. So it goes with that too, hand in hand.
It's like competition, but to me,
mm-hmm.
You know, I happen to agree 90% with Brother B. You do have to love yourself, as long as it's not narcissistic. But at the same time, I don't feel that people can be fulfilled without another person.
Of course.
You can be content.
Some people can't.
It's called porn, but guys, on that note.
Oh, really? Stormy Daniels.
Tisha, Brother B, K-Dawg, Sean Black, and Joe from Montana. Guys, thank you so much. Hopefully we see you guys again in the next 3 weeks.
Oh,
3 weeks. Summer. Oh, yes. And this is the finale.
Yeah, 3 weeks, man.
We've
got to take a summer vacation.
Yes.
I need to get laid, you know. Good night, y'all.
Well, who are you
going
to shout out
to make
on
no
social
more
media?
Babies.
Peace out,
no,
y'all.
No more babies. No social media. No way.
No more babies. No more babies.
Good night.
Oh, damn.
Good night,
peace
y'all.
Out.
Good night.
Night.
Right.